In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Huffman. It's always a blessing to start our day with you. If you've got a chance, open your Bible and we'll spend a few moments together. And we'll be able to see that God has a wonderful plan for your life, but you've got to want it. You've got to seek it. Last time we were together, we were talking about biblical thoughts when tempted. Biblical thoughts when tempted. We have to think correctly about temptation. Never rationalize it, never excuse it, but always run from it. Somebody said this, "The chains of habit are so light that you cannot feel them until they are so strong that you cannot break them." End of quote. I'll say it again. The chains of habit are so light that you cannot feel them until they're so strong that you cannot break them. And sad to say, so many times we find ourselves making the statement, "Oh, if I only hadn't said that, if I only hadn't done that, if I only hadn't acted that way, if only I hadn't," and fill in the blank. See, we've all done and said some things for which we feel very much ashamed. These may stem from lustful habits or maybe selfish attitudes and goals or whatever the reason. See, God can release you from the stronghold of the past. Praise God for that. Now, Satan wants to dog you and dog your daily path with its reminder of what you did in the past, what you said in the past. But God sends feelings of guilt to convict you of real sin. Satan sends guilty feelings to defeat you even over those sins that have been past forgiven. See, Satan wants you to believe that you'll always be a slave to that habit. So why even try to change? He is so slick. See, before we fall into that sin, Satan tells us, "One fall isn't going to hurt you." And after we do fall, he tells us, "All hope is forever gone that you can ever overcome this sin. So, might as well go ahead and continue in it. You'll never get out of it. You'll never get victory over it." Do you see how slick he is? After we have fallen, and when we are filled with remorse and shame and guilt, and we're constantly saying, "Oh, if I only hadn't," he's right there to accuse you. But you see, the question now arises, is a new beginning possible? Well, in one sense of the term, the answer can be no. You see, if you've lost your virginity, it can never be recovered once it's lost. If you've ruined your health with drugs or gluttony or whatever, it's often ruined forever. Some broken homes will never be reunited. So in one sense, a new beginning is not possible in those areas. But in another sense, yes. Because God loves genuine repentance and forgiveness. God loves to forgive us. See, and God even gives assurance that the past need not control your future. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." In other words, God can give you the assurance that your past is in your past, and your past needs to stay in your past. Now, as we are facing the temptations, we recognize that when we give in to temptation, it's not as simple as, Lord, forgive me, and that's it. Sometimes there are consequences of guilt that we have to deal with, that God allows to come to remind us on a daily basis, don't do that again. Look how it has affected. Look what it's done. You see, suppressed guilt can lead to physical sickness. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 30 tell us that this is true. It says in verse number 28, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not deserving the Lord's body. For this cause many of you are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He's talking about repressed guilt. In other words, where you have suppressed it, you've not admitted it, you've not dealt with it, you've not asked forgiveness for it, you've just tried to cover it. Remember the verse in Proverbs that says that he that covereth his sin, you remember it, don't you? Shall not prosper. Shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsakes shall find mercy. Shall find mercy. The first consequence of guilt can often lead to physical sickness. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 11. It says, some are weak and sickly among you, and some have even died because you haven't made things right. Or, secondly, unresolved guilt many times leads to depression. Leads to depression. As a counseling pastor, I can sit in my office and listen to someone talk about their depression and on and on and on. And so one of the questions I ask is there anything between you and God that you've never made right, that you've covered up, that you want to keep, and you know it's wrong? And often their heads will bow. And I will say, well, that's one cause for depression. One cause. You see, thirdly, guilt causes a lack of faith in God. A lack of faith in God. 1 John 3 and verse 21 says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. But verse 20, if our heart condemn us, that's your conscience. Your conscience. And so guilt can cause a lack of faith in God. Fourthly, guilt causes a person to punish himself. Many times when you're under the consequences of guilt and you haven't confessed it, haven't turned from it, and walked away from it, every tragedy that comes along, you kind of interpret it as, well, that's God's hand. Well, that's what God's doing. And God, you know, that may not be true. But because you have unresolved guilt, you begin to punish yourself. Or number five, guilt can cause some to try to do good works to compensate for their bad works. It's kind of like you've been mean to your wife, so you bring her flowers. Or you've been involved in some wicked sin, so you start giving money to the church. You know, basically trying to do good works to compensate for your bad works. These are all consequences of guilt. But there's a biblical way to deal with guilt. And the first step is to identify the cause of your feelings. The cause of your feelings. Have you actually violated God's word? Is there anything that the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you about and basically saying that is sin and you need to deal with it? If something has just come up in your mind right now, then that's probably what you're dealing with. To identify this is truly sin. But if you can't think of anything that violates God's word, then it could be that maybe it was just poor judgment, but really, not really sin. Or number two, after identifying the cause of your feelings, to remember God's remedy for sin is complete. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse. All unrighteousness. God's remedy for my sin is complete. If I confess it, forsake it, it's forgiven. All of it. It doesn't just say the things that are not really that bad. No. It says all unrighteousness is forgiven. Colossians 2:13 tells us that all sin was paid for at the cross. So you only have to confess sin once. Once. Yes. Once. And ask God to forgive you. All sin was paid for at the cross. You see, Satan is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible tells us, in Revelation 12:10. It's amazing, but Satan still has access to God, just like he did in the book of Job. And when he comes before God, he loves to accuse you to God. He He loves to tell God how bad you are, how unfaithful you are, how wicked you are, how slothful you are, how, whatever. He accuses you to God. And then in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible tells us that he accuses God to you. Hath God said, God doesn't want this for you. God doesn't want that. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he is the accuser to the brethren. Now, thank God for your forgiveness, even when you don't feel forgiven. I want to pause on that for a moment. Thank God for your forgiveness. This is a biblical way to deal with guilt. When you've asked God to forgive you, thank God for your forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 that we quoted earlier. Thank him for that, even when you don't feel forgiven. But you are simply saying, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and take you at your word. And then, number 4, memorize Psalm 32 and Psalm 103, and recite them at times like these. Psalm 32 and Psalm 103. Great passages of the scripture to help you recognize that when you're facing a time of guilt, you can also face a time of repentance, experience forgiveness, and know the peace that passes all understanding that will keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus. Now, as far as possible, experience the healing of all personal relationships. That's number 3. Identify the cause of your feelings. Remember, God's remedy for sin is complete. And then number 3, as far as possible, experience the healing of all personal relationships. Romans 12:18 tells us, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As far as possible, as much as lieth within you. Now, there'll be some relationships that others will not allow you to mend. That's not your problem. All you have to do is attempt to mend those relationships and to ask God to give you the right attitude, the right approach. I found that many times when there's someone that I've seen a broken relationship be evidenced there, the best approach for me is to go to that person and simply say, listen, I just sense that there is a broken relationship between us, and I recognize that there must be something that I have said or done or not done that I should have done or not said that I should have said, and I want to make this right. I'm terribly sorry that I've hurt you. Can you share with me what I've done and allow me to ask you to forgive me? See, take all the responsibility. Take all of the weight upon yourself. You say, but I'm not totally responsible. Well, that may be true, but you can't deal with the other person's sin, but you have to deal with yours. And so assume that you have hurt them. Assume that you need to make things right. And it's amazing how they begin to share with you, and then often they will say, and I need to ask you to forgive me for this and this and this. And then that relationship can be mended. You see, these are biblical thoughts when tempted. May God remind us of them every time. Till the next time, and the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.